you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor,
Doctor,
Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Here on Herb Talk, we're here to empower you. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Here on Herb Talk, we're here to empower you. Frank, can you hear me? All right, so here we got some technical problems today, and I hope we can clear them up, but sounds like we have a very challenging technology moment. We are going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, a little bit about the COVID virus. There's a update on that. And we do have a very brief quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm hitting the knees, and I'm minding the time. And I hope you are, too, lifting this country up in prayer. And so let's go to Romans 14 for the devotional. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, nor righteousness, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So let's take that to the bank every day and come together, pray against these demonic strongholds, and lift up our nation, that Lord will bless it and heal our land. And mind the time, it grows short, and that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, last but not least, by the way, Frank, chili peppers, they say, is it a traditional remedy for rheumatoid arthritis? This, of course, for hundreds of years, that information has been passed down. But now, all of a sudden, Odessa National Medical University in Ukraine has declared the effectiveness of your capsaicin chili pepper. They say it helps with the rheumatoid arthritis, widely used in the Ukraine for a natural remedy to reverse that disease, including inflammation, gout, that kind of thing. I like to add ginger root to it, to be perfectly honest. A lot of inflammation. Even the Egyptians wrote about that remedy for arthritis, ginger and cayenne peppers. So take that every day to the bank. And that wraps the Quack Report. All right. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, some information that we've come across regarding the COVID-19. I know we're all kind of sick of hearing about it, to be honest, but it's good to see what's being projected out there on the virus so we can be savvy as we move forward. All right, so a lot of news is kind of catching up with, you know, what the infectious disease out there is, and they say they're doing more research on it. They're getting more educated on the COVID-19. But personally, what I see is a lot of contradictive type of information. If you recall, Johan Gazik, Swedish virologist, very informed expert. Actually, governments seek him out each time these pandemics come around. Anyway, he says that a few months ago that COVID-19 disease will mutate, and by the time the drug companies do produce a vaccine, the pathogen will be different and the vaccine's worthless. So far, virologists are confirming that the COVID-19 has mutated in just the last few months. And more details reveal that it has been slowly mutating over about 3 months. Therefore, is the vaccine going to be effective as the drug companies say it will? Well, we're going to try to figure this out. We've got some quotes to kind of put your way, and you can kind of make your own judgment call. But here's one from Healthline, June 15, 2020, that said, every virus mutates as part of the virus life cycle. Viruses such as influenza, measles, and COVID are RNA viruses and prone to changes and mutations compared to like a DNA virus like herpes or smallpox. And then, of course, the Dr. Mark Chalice, an infectious disease specialist and an investigator at the Institute of Molecular Virology, University of Minnesota. He's also been quoted in the Journal of Nature Microbiology, which stated February 2020, ill-informed decisions regarding the COVID SARS-CoV-2 virus is exactly what we're seeing. In some cases, mutations can create a weaker virus, and we expect RNA viruses like COVID to change frequently as it's just their nature, end of quote. So now we're hearing, hey, mutations are a natural occurrence with viruses. It's part of their life cycle. No worries, nothing to be alarmed about. Well, here's some other new research. If we can believe the new research, Squibb's Research Institute is stating that COVID-19 has not only mutated, but is more infectious than originally thought. Well, the scientists have given the virus mutation a name. They call it D as in David, 614G as in George. And they declare it is now easier for the virus to infect our cells, and this is the mutation that has descended apparently on the United States and in all of Europe, which is suggesting it's not the same virus that infected China. So my question was, Is the mutation a naturally occurring change, or was the change nudged by science? How can we know if any of the information on the virus is true? Well, the fact is we can't know for sure. And there can be, you know, half-truths that are leaked out to the population, just enough information to produce a lot of fear. So let me give you an example. If the new mutated virus is now more virulent and people assume more deadly and are more fearful, what information might be missing? Well, if a virus mutates, it may have been very subtle mutations to it. It really doesn't affect the transmission ability and the disease's ability to increase mortality rates. So we may be getting just half the story, right? Well, let's look at the mutation mystery for a sec. The researchers state that the mutated version of COVID has had a protein change. Now, that's kind of perked my ears up a little bit. This is a quote from Egon Oscar, infectious disease specialist, Northwestern University, Finberg School of Medicine. And he says, a switch occurred in the part of the genome that codes for the important spike protein that gives the COVID virus the ability to attach to human cells. And this is a 70% mutation. Well, that's a big, big mutation. And it's not subtle. It's not small. It's 70%. Well, now this researcher is saying that the mutation makes the virus more transmissible and is more virulent, making people sicker. So now here is something. Squibb's research has an unpublished study on the G variant of the COVID virus that has been enhanced to be more infectious in laboratory cell cultures. So that does really not sound like a natural mutation, but one that was forced by science. And it sounds like science, you know, is trying to make the virus immune to our own immune system. Because if you'll remember, the immune system has adequate zinc, and it gives a protein layer protection to the cells because the COVID can't attach to the human cell and infect it if you have zinc. And that was from a 2010 published report from the U.S. Library of Medicine Institute of Health. So the a team of geneticists now at New York Genome Center, they were trying to figure out COVID and which of its genes enabled the virus to affect humans, and they were not getting anywhere, get this, until they switched out the gene on a model virus to the G variant, and here's what they published. This is by scientist Neville Sahanda. She's a geneticist over there, and this research did get published in the journal BioTox. And it says, we were shocked. Voila. It was just like a huge increase in viral transduction. Repeating the experiment in many types of cells produced a virus that was many more times infectious. So they edited the virus with a genome of, and they called it the G gene. So we have two research teams now, two of them, that have confirmed the editing of COVID. Now, in just 2 weeks, the gene edit, called a mutation, of course, made the virus more stable and infectious, and science improved, they say, on the COVID's infectious process. Well, how can they say they improved on it? Why would they want to say that? Why would they want to do that? Here is a quote from Hyerjin Cho, a virologist at Squibb, who says, the G variant is more efficient at beginning the process of invading the human cell and taking over its reproductive machinery, end of quote. Well, here's a research release, too. The Squibb research release, they released all their data to other researchers globally, in which they stated they identified 14 additional strains of SARS-CoV, and this data went to vaccine manufacturers and others that are supposedly developing treatments. And I'll have to say that I've heard virologists say that the evolution of disease takes time, and it doesn't happen very quickly. So now we have a COVID multiplying into 14 new strains, which are now believed to be more infectious in laboratory settings. And these scientists are now working on how the new mutated versions are infecting our body. So here is Squibb's research quote that says, we are still unclear if the mutated cases are more severe illnesses, increasing the risk of death.
And then Benjamin Newman, he's a medical doctor, biologist at the Department of Biology at Texas A&M. He says it is very rare, is a very rare chance that a virus could mutate to be more aggressive. If anything, RNA viruses, when they do mutate, they become weaker versions. Nearly all mutations make the virus work less than before. Okay, Benjamin gives us a heads up. There is no way, it's rare, he says, rare, that COVID could become worse. It usually gets weaker and less infectious and less dangerous. But now they're saying at Squibbs and other places that, hey, they've made it more efficient, more deadly. Well, is it normal? Does this normally occur without science interference? No, it don't, apparently. So if we hear otherwise, we have to wonder if our more deadly, aggressive version of COVID is being manufactured in labs everywhere, and it's got to be considered a population reduction at that point. Well, here's the vaccine market, and particularly the next breath of these researchers. They take a breath and they say they feel that the mutations won't diminish the effectiveness now of the vaccine, okay, that they're developing. So a virologist like Johann Gazik, he states otherwise. When a disease goes around the world, like this one did, he told us that it gets changed when it interacts with human DNA. And that's why Dr. Gazik said you can't look at China's experience of the with the virus and expect the same outcomes elsewhere because the mutation has begun. So there are a lot of conflicting statements in science on this matter with viruses, mutation, immunity, and what's coming in the vaccine. Here is another quote from Benjamin Newman. He says vaccines in general tend to target the early versions of the virus. So we are still using 2009 H1N1 flu strains in the influenza vaccines. In other strains of the virus will preserve enough feature that it will provide immunity against the whole group of variants. So they're saying that the ancestry version of the virus is enough to efficiently deal with the new mutated ones. So if they're using, ancestry viruses in flu shots and not the current mutated versions, could this be maybe a reason for the lack of effectiveness? I don't know. And why do we hear from science that different flu strains circulate each year, and it's difficult to predict which strain to include in the flu vaccine? Well, if people have been inoculated with various influenza strains in the past, why would that matter if vaccines target an early version of the virus strains anyway? Are we beginning to see why pharmaceutical companies making vaccines required immunity against liability? Do we get the picture now? Well, it's clear to me, really, that science is, it has a lot of doublespeak. It's what the Native American Indians called, speak with forked tongue. So here's another crazy statement. This is from Benjamin Newman. He says, on top of everything, our immune system has a terrible memory for flu viruses, and any immunity only lasts about a year or so. Vaccines are necessary. Uh-huh. Let's see. And this is from Squibbs Research Center. It's unclear exactly how long immunity will last once a person's immune system beats an infection. And then Healthline said this. Once an infection leaves the body, it leaves markers in the immune system, the antibodies, that can quickly identify and fight the viruses if they were to reappear in the future. So we got Benjamin saying one thing, Squibbs and Healthline saying another. So there are many physicians, though, that disagree with a Benjamin Newman statement because our immune system is equipped with several different immune system cells that carry out different functions, and one has the ability to adapt antibodies to fit new pathogen threats. So if the immune system has a terrible memory, why would it need to have the ability to take a previous antibody and adapt it? So the immune system obviously knows we have not encountered a particular pathogen, and it would need have a memory to know that, right? Well, you know, here's the thing. Trusting, we have a trust issue. And by now, Americans have a pretty good significant trust issue, not only with news networks, but now what the heck is science doing, right? There is only one reason science would celebrate over making a virus more dangerous, and the reason is sick. They're sick. So protect yourself and do your own homework on all the treatments recommended to you, because gone are the days when you could take medicine's word on safe and effective treatments. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Ask for the free herb catalog. It's packed full of natural solutions for everyday problems, because you're going to find metabolic strengtheners, detox cleanses, immune support herb formulas. So if you give them a call, also ask about their pandemic kit. Excellent thing to have on the shelf. Works for flu bugs, viruses, pandemics of all unknown natures. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. So check out their pandemic kit. Also, by the way, you'll save 20%. They just started their July 4th sale. So you'll save 20% on orders of $50 or more. You want to be sure to use their coupon, though, when you check out or over the phone. That number is 2020 and July. That's what you type in, 2020 July. And you want to hurry, because this offer will expire on the 5th of July. So you got a little time to go ahead and get your pandemic kit and your immune support herbs, your cleanses. Wonderful product to remember to pick up is the astragalus root. It's the highest known herbal source of zinc. The immune system has to have zinc. That's why they are adding zinc sulfate to the hydroxychloroquine. They already know from that 2010 study, if you have zinc, you're immune to the COVID virus. Yep, so I definitely want to stress the importance of checking out all your treatments before you actually embark on them. It's easy now with the internet. You can, lifescience.com and some of these other websites, you can actually pull up studies on certain things, drugs, procedures, medical equipment. You can actually glean a lot of information without even going to a library. So, check it out, thepowerherbs.com. And get a free product catalog, because it will empower you. It definitely will. If you're on their website, do sign up for the newsletters. A lot of you have been doing that. Please check your junk or spam mail. If you signed up and you haven't been getting them, just make sure that your inbox allows for the newsletters to come from their webmail address. But if you want to sign up, go to thepowerherbs.com. And click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. They're free subscriptions. The American Survival comes out on Tuesday, and the Health Quest comes out on Friday. And lots of information you can pass on to friends and families. It's all about empowerment. It's all about educating yourself and being safe out there, safer than you probably know you can be. So I know people are saying, well, I'm just wearing my mask, and I'm just self-distancing, or I'm staying at home, and that's okay, but at some point, you know, you want to make sure that your immune system is stealthy and strong to not only take care of COVID, but anything else they want to throw at you. Yeah. Hey, and the reason I can say that is because God's word will never go away. It will never be null and void. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word won't. And he says, from Genesis to Revelation, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So if that word is never going to pass away, it's been said, it's been done, you can take it to the bank, you can count on it. Absolutely great. So definitely check that out, thepowerherbs.com. Also, check out the archive section. If you missed a show, you can go click on their Herb Talks tab and listen to the shows. They're all listed by topic. Makes it easy. And you can catch up if you missed a live show. All right. So we got a few minutes. But, you know, before we jump into the next segment, I wanted to clarify that the Power Herbs book also that you see that I wrote and you see on the powerherbs.com website is an ebook. a lot of you have been asking for the hard copy. You have to download this one. It's not a hard copy. So 400-page book. Great. Get your feet wet. Get in involved with herbs. Know what you're doing. And it's just $14.99. So you can go to the Books and Newsletters tab, but you have to have email to receive it. You can select which format you want. You can select PDF, Kindle, or iPad. And for just $14.99, you will get information that will never pass away, because herbs are endless. They're timeless. And they're here. So check that out for $14.99. Get a Power Herbs book and be empowered. ThePowerHerbs.com. All right, so I want to just mention, people are, getting really involved in their health and researching a lot of their options, because, a lot of patients are turning down a lot of cancer screenings that are for free. You ever think about that? There's a report by the King's College in the UK. They stated that under their free government health care, the National Health Service over there, patients are declining the invitation to go get free cancer screenings. Now, a lot of Americans would understand not getting screened if they had to pay for the tests. But here in the UK, the people there get them for free. It's a government-run health care service, supposedly early detection and all that. They've already actually paid for the tests because their pay is garnished by 20% to cover this supposed free health care for everybody. So why are the people in the UK saying, no thanks, I'm going to pass on the cancer screening? Why would they do that? Well, researchers are kind of scratching their heads about it. According to a report in England's King's College and Queen Mary University, researchers don't understand these findings, which 35% of female patients may accept an invitation for cancer screening and the rest won't. The findings did get published in the September 2019 Journal of Medical Screening. So in the UK, females in their 60s are the ones that are kind of targeted for cancer screenings. And by the time a British female is turning 65, she's expected to have about 6 cancer screenings. So they want you to get screened, I guess, annually. Screenings they want them to have are cervical cancer screenings, at least get one of those, breast cancer screenings every 3 years, and bowel cancer screening every 2 years. And they're free, but they say no. A majority of them say no. We're going to cover this on the other side of this break, so I want you to stay right where you are, and we'll be right back with more. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Talk. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we are still struggling here with some technology issues, so bear with us. We're talking about patients turning down And we're back here on Herb Talk. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and here we are. We are still struggling with some technology issues, so bear with us. Frank, can you hear me? I don't know if you, yeah, okay. All right, so we are going to continue with our topic on why patients are kind of turning down the cancer screenings over in the UK when they're paid for already and free. Well, some of the things don't seem kosher to a lot of the people in the UK. British people have gotten a bit skittish about getting the treatments, especially in the dental area. British people have to contend with, you know, the government-run system claiming they are, you know, committing health insurance fraud when they are eligible for treatment. It's kind of become such of a problem that the National Audit Office has been established to investigate the penalty notices with fines up to $1 million in, towards the citizens. So people are like, hey, we're just wanting to get our treatment. Like, normal, and you're sending us fraud notices and fines. So physicians, especially the dentists, are reporting there's a lot of fear being wrongly accusing these patients of insurance fraud. It's really deterring the patients from going to get the treatments in the first place. Maybe that's the whole point. What do you think? You know, the government don't want to pay for it. So can you blame these citizens, though? You know, it's out of their hands. There's a third party in the middle, you know, making an allegation. They've got their money from you already, and now they are claiming you're committing fraud, so now they don't want you to go to get the treatment. So British citizens already tax 20% of their pay for their healthcare treatments, and this is how they're getting treated. They're being accused, and their fines are like $150 or more. Just because she paid for your dental care, want to go get the dental care, and now you're getting an accusation of fraud, and you know you got to pay $150. I mean, I'd be outraged. Wouldn't you be outraged, Frank? I think I would be outraged. So what is really more disturbing is that the system seems to be targeting patients that are not as wealthy. They're in the poor area. Who have maybe disabilities, this is a correlation, and family members that may have dementia. So there's three correlations there of people that are getting targeted. Frank says he's always outraged. Well, therefore, you know, the patient appointments for the poor really have fallen off. Right now, only 25% of people are going to get their treatments. Well, maybe that was the point, huh, Frank? Maybe that was the point. Let's condemn you to not getting your treatment so that you'll probably, you know, expire sooner or something. British citizens would rather deal with their health matters rather than to be falsely accused and being harassed by debt collectors and having to deal with the red tape. Oh, I can totally understand. Can't you, Frank? Oh, totally. Here is a quote from a British Dental Association and the BBC network. They say there are some people who were wrongly accused of fraudulently claiming free treatment. I think that's funny. Well, it's not funny, but you know what I mean. You can see the humor in it. How can you be committing fraud if the treatment's free? There's a question. That's a government thing, isn't it? They just don't have common sense like that. Meg Hilter, public accountant, she's with the committee over there. She says, this is not a system that's working as it should. The National Health Service must take urgent steps if it's to avoid causing unnecessary distress to patients who are tripped up by an overly complex system and who end up facing large penalty charges. Well, you know, all they have to do over there is, you know, add to the penalty charges imprisonment time, and then nobody will go get treatment, see? So Charlotte Waite, a British Dental Association member, says England has a system built on the presumption of guilt, offers few warnings, and has left vulnerable patients harassed by debt collection agencies. What is worse is that the patients are intimidated into paying the fines rather than to contest them. Yeah, little Guido gonna break your legs kind of situation. Yeah. And of course, we also have this from Tricia Costello. She's a citizen in the UK. She says, we were being accused of fraud. When we called the number on the letter to explain the clerical error, the people at the National Health Services said, no, you owe this money. Get out your credit card and just pay it. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, wouldn't we be taking them to the bank on that? I mean, if that was you and I, Frank, over in the UK, we would be making right of them, wouldn't we? Oh, yeah. Well, it's a kickback situation, I'm pretty sure. In the UK, during 2018, the National Health Service filed 250 million in fraud accusations and collected 41 million in money they shouldn't have had. So of the original filing, 53 million were mistakenly charged and later it got resolved, but the government run healthcare is riddled with corruption. Big tell. 20% of the slaves over in the UK pay for this free healthcare, but then they're committing fraud when they expect to get treatment. So, fraud, bribery in the billions of dollars. And so the British people are robbed by their government in their paycheck and then robbed again at the hand of the healthcare system. It's despicable. It's disgraceful. Disgrace. And you guys out there that are for government-run healthcare, take note of this. Really. So this is why the women are saying, no, I don't want to go get screened. Screenings can be expensive, and you're going to bill me for it, even though you say it's free. So that's why the women aren't taking the invitation. Hey, come get your cancer screening tests. The research has found that a majority of the women who refused were poor. They don't have the money to defend themselves from a fraud claim. And I can see why, you know, people would pass on maybe non-essential treatment, right? It's not critical to get it. You know, and then they're billed for, you know, for the treatment, and they just can't afford it. So this system is totally being exploited. It's going to collapse, right? Because eventually these people that are robbing the people blind through this government-run healthcare, soon the healthcare system will stop paying doctors. And then the doctors will like just, you know, not be seeing patients. And so then the poor people will have no healthcare, no doctors, and they'll be still paying for nothing. So the healthcare system in England has been exploited since its inception, and it's on the brink of bankruptcy. And some citizens would get physicians to write a prescription, get this, for toilet paper and toothpaste and toothbrushes, birth control pills, and even foodstuffs, because that all fell under the general broad definition of healthcare. So a lot of the citizens, you know, raped the system. So the stores were obligated to take those prescriptions, give these patients their items, and then bill the government. So vague, ambiguous wording in the healthcare law led that to that type of exploitation. Well, they're idiots. Right, Frank? They're just idiots. Let me read you this. Brendan Brown, National Health Service Business Service Authority. He says rules about entitlement to treatment could be complicated and misunderstood, and we recognize this genuine mistake and confusion will happen. We acknowledge the understanding eligibility can be more difficult and for vulnerable people, and we are invested in efforts to create extra support. Oh, okay. That sounds like a bureaucrat explanation. Oh, yeah. There, we'll get to it. I filed it under, you know, CS, right? So what we have learned here is what's happening in the UK with their government-run healthcare system should educate all Americans on what not to do. The government in, for Britain has essentially been an open checkbook garnishing worker pay, and they have medical treatment fraud collections, and essentially just basically on an accusation over there, you're not innocent until proven guilty. It's the other way around. So the poor, the poorly written legislation on this healthcare has created so many loopholes for a majority to exploit this system, and it's teetering on the edge of the bankruptcy. So this is the perfect example of having all your eggs in one basket and putting that all at risk. And so consider that the population of the UK is 66 million, and the US is 327 million. Imagine a one-payer healthcare system in the U.S. run like the U.K. It would be five times worse in the United States because the government doesn't know how to run anything. They know only how to tax and spend. And here's a snapshot of how it would go down in the United States. Here's a heads up. We would have extremely long waits for appointments. Treatments would not be less expensive due to pay garnishment to cover the rising cost of healthcare. Fraud would be worse than the Medicare and Medicaid physician scams. The disproportion of care costs for the elderly would be compared to the lack of new births would eventually collapse our system, and euthanasia would be implemented as a stop measure to avoid the such collapse. Oh yeah, it's all about the money. You know, money answereth all things. See? So if you're sick and you're needing a lot of care and you're not, you know, productive and being an asset to society, you're expendable, basically. So based on some of the statements that are coming out of England's National Health Service regarding the fraud, one wonders if the elite has this agenda for the system to purposely fail. Now, from the many phone conversations I've had with people in Britain, they have to buy a limited amount of natural alternative products outside the UK because their country embraced the EU's policy, which they're trying to, you know, detach from. And so their natural medicines have been taken away, basically, over there. So for the British to have what the people of the United States have with regard to herbal medicine, well, they have to personally import it with a bunch of restrictions on the amount of money they pay on the other side in taxes and duties. So Australia, kind of the same problem. So you don't want to let that happen here in America. You just don't want that to happen here. Now, Americans need to really think hard and think ahead and have something in place should, you know, some political issues arise and shift things and we wind up with a government-run healthcare. Every American should really have a plan B. You want to protect your health. I encourage everyone to learn as much as possible using natural foods, herbs, spices. You know, you want to stock product that will have a long shelf life, 10 years. That's what you want to do. So look at the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have products that have long shelf lives like that. They have unique items that will bridge the gap if you're having some health issues. They have kidney bladder cleanse kits. They have heart attack packs. They have prostate kits. They have snake bite kits. They have, you know, immune support. They have pandemic kits. They got everything there. Essential items that will have a long shelf life. So give them a call and figure out what it is you and your family need to have on hand and take care of business that way. Their number is toll free at 866-229-3663. That's the Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. All right, so we got a few minutes, and I thought we'd talk about, what would be wrong with American healthcare. Well, I guess it depends on who you ask, right? Now, there's this big debate over the global healthcare. It's not so much in the spotlight that it once was, about 4, 5, 6 years ago. Politicians will make use of the healthcare topic to get votes, also for the purpose of, politicians to, get reelected, corporations and businesses, to make massive money on a big scale. So because healthcare is really a business, it is kind of a ridiculous notion to refer to it as free for anyone. It's a business. So payment will be due, but where and when the money pays the bills is an issue, isn't it? However, the nuts and bolts on how the bills are paid is only one side of the healthcare problem. There is another side which really doesn't get much attention because it highlights the flaws of modern healthcare. Is healthcare really about health or is it really about profits? Well, let's check out and see. Here's a report, February 2013, that appeared in Forbes. It was a story that ran the 5 biggest problems in healthcare today. So the notion that our healthcare system is about health has become kind of a joke. So in the Forbes story, they state that healthcare system loses patients by killing a minimum of 685 patients a day or 250,000 per year. And they list how they're being killed by drugs, accidents, human error, basically, infections, and negligence. So our healthcare system kills 250,000 people a year. Right? So in 2017, the Pew Review, they did some research. They say almost 40,000 people died of gun-related injuries in the United States. So gun deaths is about 15.5% of the deaths of those who die at the hands of healthcare businesses. So healthcare kills more people. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration states, in the United States, there are about 40,000 deaths by auto accidents. Compared to the healthcare deaths, that's about 15%. In 2017, there were 70,000 deaths due to prescription medications. So the prescription drug therapy is producing about the same number of deaths per year as auto accidents and gun-related deaths combined. When we don't see Congress putting forth bills to dismantle the healthcare industry because it's killing more people than guns are, do we? No. So what about the unnecessary care? So the healthcare system is kind of riddled with unnecessary care, drugs, tests, surgery, which is unwarranted in the first place. So we have a care system that runs up patient bills needlessly for the sake of profit or out of fear of malpractice lawsuits. So we are looking at millions of unnecessary procedures at the tune of about $6.8 billion a year. And no business, no matter what it is, will give up revenue like that willingly. So if you read about this type of abuse and exploitation of patients, the wording is kind of softened to describe it as an overuse of medical practices. Call it what it is, folks. They were robbed. They were abused. So studies have identified about 52% of the routine physical exams produce inappropriate tests. And please don't misconstrue my meaning for, you know, pessimism. The studies and the statistics are speaking for themselves. And in the healthcare business, this is not a trifle of having overruns and a need to dump some inventory. It is more about filling empty beds, x-ray rooms, keeping the lab busy, and surgeons sharpening their scalpels. So here is a comparison. Think of a new courthouse that is built in your city or town. Massive structure. It's huge. It's like a shopping mall. A lot of courtrooms on different levels. And they built it to fill it, didn't they? Yeah. The legal and medical systems do have their quotas. So I once overheard a heated argument between two parties of a neurological clinic at a neurological clinic where one physician was telling the other to pick up his pace and see more patients in his schedule because he was behind on his quota. Yeah. And you know, we're kind of wanting to hope our doctors would do no harm. We've heard it before, the motto, physician's creed, first do no harm. But that's kind of considered old-fashioned in today's society, not really taken seriously any longer. Physicians aren't really taking that oath. It's not mandatory. So the new motto is do what is best for society. So this is a common problem in our modern day, that the individual is no longer what matters, and the individual has to be sacrificed whatever to justify the needs of society. So healthcare reporter Lee Binder puts it kind of another way. I know, Frank, that's called communism. Yeah, you're so right. She says this, do no harm is healthcare's biggest problem. The statistics show 1 in 4 Medicare beneficiaries admitted to the hospital will suffer from some form of harm during their stay. And would you like to take a chance of harm getting in your car for a drive? Well, you know, that's just it. You know, there's risk everywhere, right? But there's more risk now going to the hospital than getting in your car to take a drive. So Lee Binder did a report on how medicine is encouraging elective early deliveries of babies at about 37 to 39 weeks of age. Infants are born 1 to 3 weeks too early, have a higher risk of death and having respiratory problems, needing special treatment in the neonatal intensive care unit. She reports that this is being pushed by the medical area onto mothers since the 1990s, but she says that this has been a steady increase in these types of elective early deliveries over the last 30 years. So this is an elective procedure. It's not one that's necessary. And why would physicians even want to suggest it? Well, according to the June 2010 American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, here is the reason. Early elective deliveries are harmful, and they create an additional $1 billion per year in newborn care. We literally have a sick care system that's full of perverse incentives. So be informed and look for transparency, because informed consent and transparency is kind of being, it's kind of a dinosaur. These days, you can bet you're not going to be getting the full picture when your medicine is going to pitch you a recommended treatment plan. All of the facts are really not going to be spelled out. It's kind of like being in court and the legal system is not going to tell you what your rights are. It's up to you to know your rights. Likewise, patients will need to know the pros and cons of all the treatments before they accept them. So the main reason patients are not given all the details is it would be, well, too scary for them. They would be saying no. Here's an example. You go to the dermatologist and you ask for allergy shots. You're given the impression they're safe, they're effective, they're tailored to you. A serum is made specifically for you. And you're under the impression the allergy shots are going to remove your allergic reactions and improve your way of life. And you're even given some glossy brochures on the topic to read. If you read them carefully, and it's some print, the small print's going to say, on your allergy shots, patients may get a reaction and they should remain in the doctor's office about 30 minutes after they receive the treatment. It doesn't spell out what the allergic reaction would be. Some people would think it would have to do with maybe some rash or some itchy hives. People don't realize, no, they're talking about respiratory arrest. So, but if they put that on there, it would scare you off and you wouldn't want to get your allergy shots. So transparency isn't just about financial costs of the procedure, folks. Just like people getting cataract surgery, they don't realize, they're not removing your natural lens. They're dissolving it with technology and putting in an artificial one. So they're removing the evidence that you probably were pushed into an early cataract surgery when you didn't really need to have it. Great, right? So people that are in the know, they educate themselves. They look at options, healthy alternatives, and they ask a lot of questions. Be that rebel. Ask the questions. Push that doctor. Ask the questions. Say, hey, if you were in my shoes, would you do it? You know, how many successful procedures have you really done, doc? Would you recommend this to your mother, your wife, your daughter, your niece? I know they can lie, obviously, but still, you're going to put the seed in their mind that you don't trust what they're saying. Makes them a little nervous, then they kind of mess up, see? I mean, speaking to you about stuff. So educate yourself, get informed, find your alternatives. They're out there. God has provided them. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Their toll-free number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Don't forget, 4th of July sale, save 20% now through the 5th. And give them a call for details. I gotta go. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical doctor, if you dare, before you take any treatment or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.